This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mocarum Injury Lawyers.
Mocarum Injury Lawyers, y'all, hard as hell to say, easy to dial, 281-222-2222. We greatly appreciate everybody out there for listening, however you're doing it on that AM, FM dial. If you're looking and watching on YouTube and Twitch, my hat's pretty clean. I actually need to clean this one, but it is a clean lid. We appreciate you watching. We appreciate you listening, making us part of your day. I do want to encourage everybody out there, no matter how you're listening, I want to encourage everybody out there to download the Audacy app, AUDACY. Yesterday would have been a killer day. We played right here on the drive, the offensive coordinator, I believe it was yesterday, we played him in full. Earlier Tuesday morning, I think is when Caserio was on, the general manager of the Texans, Nick Caserio, was on with Payne and Pendergast. You could have used that rewind feature, man, and caught a couple of big time audio bits there. There's also all the podcasts and everything right there at your fingertips on the Audacy app. So download that, AUDACY. Keep us on your hip. Take us everywhere that you go. I got me a little 45-minute jog in the jog walk in the other day, Ron, and I listened to In the Loop the whole time. And I came in here locked and loaded with In the Loop and the Crosshairs, man. I had a bone to pick with them boys on about 10 different topics after listening to them. But I was able to do it with the old Audacy app. So Audacy app came in clutch. Now, the Astros, they lost again today. All right. They got beat 7-2 today, which means they got swept by the Tigers after dropping 2 of 3 to the Orioles. So they've now lost 5 of their last 6, 4 of which they have been shut out in. I think they've scored a total of 7 runs. In that stretch of 6 games. And so the bats have been bad. The bullpen has been bad. The starting rotation has not been good. Framber Valdez was not good today. Got ran up off the mound in the first inning, but he didn't. What did he go, 5 today, Ron?
Yeah, he ended up getting 5.
Ended up getting 5, but I think when I was listening, there was a 6-run first inning. There was, I think, 3 walks. There was 2 wild pitches. There was a double with an RBI. There was a single with an RBI. It was a rough, rough start for Framber Valdez today, and it didn't get any better. They didn't swing the bat well. Dubon, I believe, had a home run. It was the only way that they got runs. So today was not any better for the Astros. The Detroit Tigers sweep them, and now the Astros move on to Baltimore. 4-game set with Baltimore, and they come home for a 3-game set against the Colorado Rockies. So you got seven games here where if you ever needed an opponent to right the ship, you got seven of them. The next 7 days, you've got teams that you have no business losing to, and you should be able to make up some ground because the Seattle Mariners, not make up ground, you should be able to extend your lead in the division. It's a game and a half right now because the Mariners just continue to lose, and they're doing their part, Ron. The Mariners are doing their part, getting their ass kicked, and we're sitting here, we're piddling around and matching them. And,
well, what do you think they got to be thinking right now?
How lucky they are,
or how pissed they are?
Well, they should be pissed, but I mean, they've run into a little bit of a not difficult, but a better schedule than what we're running into. They're not out there with the Orioles and the damn Rockies, so we should be able to get this thing right. And maybe extend the lead in the division because it looks like the Mariners are struggling. But we've talked. Joe Espada's been great this year. Hell, Ron, you've got me even giving Joe Espada. I ain't calling him Captain Espada like you do. But I mean, I got to give Joe Espada. I give credit where credit is due. He's up for Manager of the Year. He is not living up to that right now. But he is up for Manager of the Year, and rightfully so. But late in yesterday's game, boys, can we talk about this?
I'm trying to do the best I can.
Can we talk about this?
Talk about whatever you want, man.
Yesterday was the kind of game. Forget about the shutouts. Forget about the losing five of the last six. Forget about, you know, the way that things have been of late. It's not been pretty with the Astros. Yesterday's game, Ron, I feel like was very indicative of a playoff game. Right? You got Skubal versus Hunter Brown. I mean, both of those guys go out there. They're absolutely dealing. And I think both of them went six innings. Did Skubal go an extra inning? Skubal may have went seven. Anyway, point being, we get in. It's a 0-0 ball game. We get into them late innings. You finally get Skubal out of the game, and Joe Espada decides to empty his bench of simply because they're left-handed bats.
Left-handed, baby.
Simply because they are left-handed bats. Dubon, who hit a two-run homer. It was a two-run homer today? Is that right?
He got the scoring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dubon hit a two-run homer today. He wasn't good enough to bat against a right-hander late in yesterday's game. So they pinch hit for him. Right? Chaz McCormick, we tried, man. We tried. I know you're hitting 50 points better than some of these guys are, but your ass wasn't good enough to hit against them either. Taylor Trammell was the guy that got that nod.
Going for the matchups, Clint.
And then who was the other one? Who was there? There was somebody else in there in that mix. Cam Smith. Cam Smith's had a hell of a year, man. Hell of a year. You sparked some rallies, several of them this year. You ain't good enough. We got to get Jacob Melton's ass in there, who's hitting a .176 because he's left-handed against these guys. Let's get all these left. Let's just empty the chamber here with these left-handed hitters. And of course, it amounted to absolutely nothing. And then in the 10th inning, let's stay at the plate. In the 10th inning, Urias was the only guy that even gave us a hope of scoring. He's the one to hit the double down the line when Diaz got thrown out at home plate early in the ball game. Well, no, he ain't good enough. Let's get that switch hitter in there, Caratini in there in the 10th inning. Let's get that bat in there and see if that helps us out a little bit. I thought those were all, for the most part, terrible ass decisions. Jesus Sanchez, you can argue, hey, man, there's a little different element right there. That's a guy that's recently done some good things. That's
a lefty you are all right with.
Well, that makes a little bit of sense right there. And really for any of those guys that I mentioned. But to look at it, I would rather have Sanchez, Melton, Trammell instead of Dubon, Cam Smith, and Chaz McCormick. I just don't know how you can get there based on lefty-righty. I mean, at some point, what these guys have done and how they're swinging the bat has got to come, and the lack of experience and resume has to come into play here. Good God. And I'll be honest with you, Tyler, it's not even the fact that I had a $100 bet on Chaz McCormick. Yeah, I'd like that $100, but I was like, God, what are we doing here? Are you kidding me?
So it's safe to say that you don't believe yesterday's game just was – you're an offense that's been struggling, and you went up against the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, no, I think that absolutely is the case. But I mean, those are the kind of games when I believe that your manager's got to pull the right strings. And if we're going to pull Dubon again, And I'll even say Chaz McCormick. I'll even say Cam, all of those guys I mentioned. If you in that moment, if you think the better option is a left-handed bat that has done diddly squat in big league baseball, one of which looks completely lost at the plate right now.
Who is that first?
Melton. Jacob Melton is very close to Jacob Myers for his first 3 years in the league. Yes, he is. It absolutely is at the plate. I mean, lost. And I mean, like, that to me, that's when your manager, those are the kind of games when your manager's got to give you the best chance. And I thought that was pissy poor right there. Right? And then you get up in the 10th inning, Ron, and it's blatantly obvious. There is no thought of moving a runner. You got Altuve with wheels at second base, who hit into a double play to end the ninth. So in the top of the 10th, you got Altuve at second base. You got wheels, man. You got Christian Walker out there swinging out of his shoes, grounding out to the third baseman. Hit it hard, but hit it right at the third baseman. Yiner Diaz comes up. He ain't trying to push nothing. He ain't trying to get nothing in the air. He pulling it right to the shortstop. What happens? I think Caratini strikes out with Altuve standing on second base. Again, by the way, that's when Caratini will pinch hit for Urias, who is the only guy that had a damn hit against the best pitcher in baseball that made a damn. I thought that was – now, there's nothing that he can do about the pitching. Maybe he could have left Abreu in a game like that. Maybe he could have left Abreu in and get him another inning.
They went 10 innings and then give him a run. I mean, nine.
What's that?
Innings. I mean, the pitching. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, the way he did it, though, the way Ort goes out there and walks the winning run across the plate, that's not on the spotter. That just.
I mean, it wasn't even a competitive pitch.
It wasn't.
It wasn't even anything like.
No, I mean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
And to be honest with you, getting to Gleyber Torres is, he deserved to lose a damn game. The guy before him, he walked him. It should have never happened. So, I don't know, man. I just thought, I watched that game, Ron, and I look at it, I'm like, okay, now this is a playoff caliber game, and I'm jazzed up, man. 0-0. Let's get it, man. Let's go win this, boys. This is how you snap the streak of getting shut out. This is how you snap the streak of not looking like the damn Astros that we come to expect. And then it just turns into the, exactly who we've been watching. And I, to me, I think Joe Espada deserves a little credit here on the negative side of, man, he's been great all year long, but I thought that was pissy poor across the board in the ninth and the tenth inning. That was not putting the Astros' best foot forward,
that,
in my opinion.
That is going to be the question and concern is, I think in a lot of ways, Joe has done an amazing job
in
where they are, as you said. And I think even still at this point, I think he is still, with all the injuries and everything, they is still the leader in the clubhouse for American League Manager of the Year. But in tight games where there's a lot of things evenly matched, like, you know, Hunter Brown against their ace, now the manager has to pull some strings late in games from bullpen and pinch hitting perspective, and you do wonder how good is he in those moments, right? Like him versus AJ Hinch late in a game, you feel like even though he's done a great job here the last 2 years, AJ Hinch from a schematics perspective is going to be much better than he is.
Yeah, well, you would think, I don't know. I don't expect, to be honest with you, I don't expect a huge advantage out of Joe Espada. I just, for me as a casual fan watching, it's very rare that I watch a game and I'm like, boy, that was just that seemed like that was some, like, back-to-back-to-back terrible decisions. And, at some point, look, I understand that the analytics of it, and I understand that the left-handed versus right-hander, and I understand that lefty-righty, all that stuff. But damn, if it's just going to be like a damn robot's calling the shots, and it's just about, I mean, we're so committed to this left-handed bat versus the right-handers. I mean, it is a frustrating watch. And last night, absolutely got me. So, Espada, you've been great all year, but man, yesterday was pissy poor. There's no doubt about it. By the way, I know we've talked about it once already, but I said this jokingly earlier in the week, maybe it was even last week, Tyler. Chaz has got to request a release or trade. Chaz has got to regret. I mean, Ron, I thought yesterday when Chaz McCormick was in that starting lineup, I literally let my heart smile for a minute. Because I'm going to tell you, Ron, when I saw him on that mound for the second night in a row, my heart broke for the kid, man. And yesterday I thought, hell yeah, man, he's going to get in there. I mean, I was so excited. Like I said, we played that funky music, White Boy. Me and Tyler had a little $100 bet. All he had to do was get a hit. They gave my man 3 at-bats against the best pitcher in baseball. And then the minute that pitcher came out of the game, they pinch hit for his ass.
Yeah, they wanted the righty, lefty-righty matchup.
They had to get that buck 76 hitter up there, man, that left-handed bat. Yeah, I mean, I thought yesterday was going to be one of those, all right, at least you're getting a chance. Hey, this is your chance. You can't complain. And when I watched that one, I said, yeah, you can. Yeah, you damn sure can. You can go sit in your locker right now, and I know you ain't going to say nothing, Chaz, but in your mind, you can justify saying, boy, that was some bull jive. That was some damn bull jive right there.
It does. It does feel like we have reached change of scenery time.
Ron, I've said this several times in the last week, so excuse me for beating a dead horse, but those of y'all that listen, you know I can do that with the best of them. I want to know, and I promise whoever's out there listening, I will not bring it to air. I want to know what Chaz McCormick has done to somebody in that building. Because, again, I can get
that. You want
that.
Somebody from the Astros to tell you? You want to come there?
Yeah. I can get to a point where I understand the Jake Meyer stuff now, right? The in-house guy, the guy that they brought up, their prospect, they're going, because they believe, they overly commit to everybody. They overly commit to everybody in the organization except for one guy, year over year. Chaz McCormick. There's got to be something, man, that's like in his personality, there's a lack of competitiveness, there's a crybaby, there's got to be something with Chaz McCormick.
And now it makes you wonder how much of it was dusty when that was the thought before.
Was
dusty?
Ron, I believe there's something that's probably very real that's throughout the organization. I mean, was he there with Hinch?
I don't know.
I mean, there's been a damn sure 2 managers. There's been 2 general managers. So it's not like it was just a general manager didn't like him. Hell, he's had multiple. You know what I mean? Like, this is not one of those deals. He has been overlooked by Hummel. For Hummel, for Melton, for Trammell. I mean, it's a laundry list. Now,
they have treated like they look at him like, all right, we know what he is.
No question.
Let's get the
no question. he's like a bullpen catcher.
Him and Dubon, at least Dubon is playing. Him and Dubon, man, I don't know what the hell.
I'm with you on Dubon.
I don't know what the hell those guys got to do to be the center field.
Oh, I mean, just play on the regular, man. Gosh dang.
I thought he was going to pitch today. How many times has he pitched here recently? Has he been
three been in the three last eight games? Count today's game. Three in eight games. Three times. He wrapped up the Red Sox series, and then he went twice in this Detroit series.
Do you think Chaz is also the emergency catcher? Like, you know, every team has one guy that is the emergency catcher.
He can't be, man.
I don't know. They would give it a shot.
See the emergency shortstop? What is Chaz McCormick? They want to rest Pena next time they get blown out, and Chaz McCormick goes to short.
Oh, my God. All right.
He can hoop his ass off and eat banana pudding.
Speaking of the Astros, by the way, Tyler did send that banana pudding. We don't know if it was received.
Well, we know it was received by somebody.
Somebody ate the hell out of it.
Hope it was in Chaz's locker after that game because he damn sure needed it.
There's a big old dude that drives in from Pontiac, Michigan.
It was a girl. It was actually a girl.
Candace.
All right.
Candace sitting on the curb.
Coming up. Looking at the Astros, we'll look at what happened. Framber struggled today, and they've obviously continued to struggle scoring runs. Are you really concerned about this offense? Like, as we get down closer to, are you really concerned about the offense, or is this just a rough patch? We'll discuss that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, as Clint said, Framber struggled today, and then we can dive into Framber in a bit, because, well, when Framber struggles, we got people that come off the deep end. Larry and Stafford, and compared him to Laremy Tunsil, I think that's a tad aggressive. Maybe more than a tad. Tyler said he's not an ace. It wouldn't pain. But we can get it into that. But I mean the big thing is, right, is they have struggled to score runs. Today they scored two runs on a two-run homer by Dubon, but they've been shut out three straight games. And then, right, I believe, Tyler, they were shut out the game before the last one they scored runs in. So they have been fighting. There's a 14-1 game in there too. They've been fighting it, scoring runs. And I'm throwing it out to you, to people, 713-572-4610, those on YouTube and Twitch and as well. Are you nervous and think this is a major issue? Obviously, we're hearing more news, good news with Yordan, that he could be closer. He is going to have a rehab start.
Nick's is all nervous.
But is this something that you're nervous about, or is this something that you feel is just a bad stretch?
The bats?
Yeah.
No, I'm not nervous.
Bad stretch?
I'm not nervous. Yeah, I think it's a bad stretch. I think you got a guy, you got a fella that played down in Corpus Christi last night that had two hits. One of them was a double, I think, by the way. But you got him coming. You got a couple of guys that I think in Carlos Correa and Altuve.
Correa has been he's been swinging the bat even
Pena. I mean, I'm just talking about guys that, hey man, they've been down this. You know what I mean? Just get there. They in the moment. The moments aren't going to be too big. I think I'm right now for me. It is awful to live through as a fan, no doubt about it. I'm absolutely disgusted with it, but I'm not in any way, shape, or form. My confidence of this team being able to make a run is not shook. Now, I'll be honest with you. If that big fella wasn't down in Corpus Christi right now and swinging that bat, and which today's, by the way, today's the day. Cross your fingers. Today's the off day. Hopefully nothing pops. No, we don't have any inflammation issues here.
Yeah.
But if he wasn't down there, I would definitely be, my concern meter would be peaked right now. But the fact that we got him right around the corner is a huge boost, I think.
Yeah. Look, it's not good, and this isn't the offense that, you know, we've seen in the past with the Astros. But I mean, it's not like they haven't had opportunities. Even yesterday with Scooble on the mound, it's not like they haven't had opportunities. Before today, now I'll look at what the numbers were today, but before today, in that three-game stretch where they were shut out three straight games, which really seems to be hard to even fathom, they left 40 guys on base. They just seemed to have a difficult time coming up with the big hit in this stretch and, you know, extra base hits. Like, they've been singling them to death. They've had a hard time coming up with the extra base hit. And a bit, like the other night, Correa, Altuve, and Walker left like nine guys on base. Those three guys. I would take my chances on that happening more and more often. Now, I do think at times when they have, because this isn't the first time they've had a stretch like this, it does appear to affect the pitchers, and it does appear that they feel like they've got to be fine and perfect at times. And so, you know, they're not pitching just free. But I don't think the Astros are going to just run through stretches where their offense is just like long stretches to where this potentially just kills them in the postseason. I think they're more likely to come up with big hits. I think they're more likely to do what Correa, Altuve, Pena, even Christian Walker to an extent. I don't think they're just going to all come up and just the likelihood that they all come up and not come up with a big hit.
I mean, my bigger concern, and this may be crazy, but my bigger concern is pitching.
Yeah, I was going to say the bullpen to me. The bullpen is the bigger.
Well, the bullpen, let's be honest, the starters beyond the top two guys, I know Fromber wasn't good today, but I mean, I got a ton of confidence in him in a playoff game. I got a ton of confidence in Hunter Brown in a playoff game. I like those guys being on my team. But I mean, Christian Javier had one good outing, and then three innings, he got sick and had to bounce. Spencer Arrighetti we're running out of the time of like, hey man, there's a grace period here. It's not been as bad as it really looks. It's not as, you know, like at some point he's got to bring it all together. Lance McCullers we'll see him Friday. That could be a boost. Which Luis Garcia, I think he was a little bit of a buzzkill last night in Corpus Christi. So, you know, what are they going to do and where are they going to use these arms? Bullpen, starting rotation. They've got to maximize these guys when they come back. They've got to get the most that they can out of these guys when they come back. And how do they do that? That's the bigger concern for me is in a tight ball game like we were in yesterday with Yordan Alvarez in this lineup, I feel pretty good about our chances. As you mentioned, with Carlos Correa and Altuve and even Christian Walker and some of these, Pena.
Yeah, like even yesterday, they had chances.
They had chances.
Even with him on the mound, they had chances.
Yep.
They just couldn't come through. Very similar to the Tigers probably saying that themselves. They had chances. They hit into a double play with runners on the corners that got them out. They had shots. They just couldn't get things to go around. From the text line, better going into this rough patch of games now and to overcome this drought going into the playoffs. Also, someone texted in, I am concerned because I'm concerned about what this lineup looks like against elite pitching like they'll see in the playoffs. That's kind of fair. But again, still, I believe Correa, Altuve, Pena, and especially if Yordan is in there, which it looks like he's getting closer and this feels real, I still believe those guys can scratch across runs. And they have done it against elite pitching this year. They have done it.
Look, we don't know what the lineup's going to look like. I mean,
Brochet has been one of the best pitchers in the game, and they whooped his ass last week.
Yeah, when you just get to the dance and you got the guys you just mentioned, Pena, Altuve, Correa, Yordan Alvarez, Christian Walker. I know Yainer's been rough behind the plate, but I mean, he
threw somebody out yesterday.
He's been there. Did he? I didn't even see it. How did I miss that one? Boy, you mess around and get Jake Myers back at some point in time later on. I mean, crazy that we're saying that. 300 hitter, man. I mean, that's another guy that changes this lineup. So, I'm more worried about the pitching. I'm not even worried about the hitting at all, to be honest with you. That's crazy to say in the midst of this crap.
I wouldn't say at all, but it's not. It doesn't compare to me with the bullpen. The bullpen thing, that one's That one's concerning on how you have answers. All right, coming up, we've got to talk about the man who has made the biggest move, you could argue, in Texans training camp. We'll discuss that coming up next.
All right, y'all, look, some things, maybe they just go better together. I love that old song right there now. Burgers and fries, Friday nights in football, and now Academy Sports and Outdoors and Whataburger. How about that? We all love Whataburger around these parts, no doubt about that.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
The player that made the biggest move, I think, in terms of where he is right now on the team, I think you could argue is Xavier Hutchinson.
The arrow's pointed up.
Way up. We did earlier, you can use the Odyssey app. You gotta check that out. We did a stock up, stock down, players on the bubble edition. Stock up, stock down. And he was not on anybody's list, Clint, because there is no chance that he's anywhere close to the bubble right now, Clint, because if the Texans are starting with three receiver sets, Clint, I think, especially from what's been reported, what we're hearing, I think there's a great shot that he is one of the three right now. The way that it looks like in practice, how they've gone about things, I think it is a great shot that he is one of those top three guys, and that's over the rookie Higgins that they drafted early with their first pick of that draft. Noel, who kind of plays a different spot there. But it seems like Hutchinson is maybe the third guy that they trust right now at the receiver position, which is not what I thought coming into the year. He has earned it, but he has really changed his place on this team.
Yeah, look, he was not in the group of wide receivers that I would say were locks to make this team this year. I think it was Nico Collins, I think it was Christian Kirk, and then the two rookies that were drafted early in the 2025 draft. Those four guys were locks. Everybody else, I think, needed to move. I mean, one way or the other to kind of clear some things up. I think the Texans made it loud and clear to any receiver, again, not named Christian Kirk and not named Nico Collins, on this roster. When they went and drafted used two of their top three draft picks in the 2025 draft on wide receivers, I think they made it clear to everybody else, hey, man, it's mess or get off the pot. It's time to make a move. You got to separate yourself. This status quo, just hanging around and playing when guys are injured and being the last ditch option, those days are over. We're bringing guys in here. They also bring in Justin Watson. They also bring in Braxton Berrios. They're bringing guys in here, and they're creating competition. And it's time to mess or get off the pot. And I'm going to tell you right now, Xavier Hutchinson has earned every bit of this.
Oh, I agree.
Xavier Hutchinson has been a guy that in the big moments throughout his career, although he hasn't been given all the opportunity all these other guys have been given, you could argue he hasn't even been given the opportunity consistently the way that John Metchie was, particularly in training camp, to try to prove something. But yet every time he was given an opportunity, he stepped up and made plays. And then you get to a point this year, Ron, and we didn't talk about this earlier, but I think this is key. When you look at the kind of offense that the Texans thought they were going to be last year, you know, the vertical approach, the stretch of the field, the five-headed monster, that's not gonna pair well with Xavier Hutchinson. That's not going to allow him to really have much of an opportunity to go out and compete.
See, that's why I was going to ask you, does it feel like are we short, or are we in a situation that we wish was better because he has taken the third spot? Last year it was Tank Dell. Tank Dell was your third best receiver. That's a drop off from Tank Dell being your third to Xavier Hutchinson being your third. But judging by what you're saying, because the offensive shift, it's not as big of a situation.
Well, I think the offensive shift, you don't need five-headed monsters, right? But I was really – I mean, I agree with that point. But the one I'm trying to make now, Ron, is when you look at his skill set, and right, like, he's never been a guy that can run away from coverage. He's never been a guy that's going to go out and big body 50-50 ball catch his way to a Pro Bowl career, a Pro Bowl year. He is going to be a guy that's going to have he's going to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. He's going to have perfect depth. He's going to run routes with precision. He's going to have great chemistry with the quarterback. He's not going to drop footballs. He's going to be available in clutch. He's going to have great instincts when the play breaks down and the quarterback starts scrambling. That is who Xavier Hutchinson is. And when you look at how they're playing offense this year, right? You've got to know how to make yourself available to the quarterback with your quick routes, right? You've got to be able to execute the screen game. You got to have great instinct. Everything is about getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands, presenting yourself to the quarterback, making yourself available, making yourself a viable option, and then catching the damn football when it comes your way. And all of those things play to his strengths. Like, this team isn't going out there every day going, how can we stretch this field? Hey, if they press the corner, we're going to throw the go route. If it's Nico, I think they will. But, like, that's not how they're gearing this offense. It's about, are you running this slant and are you getting across the face of that corner? Are you running the slant at the right depth? This quick out that you threw to Nico for a touchdown, are you running it at 2 or 3 yards or 2 steps or whatever it is? Or are you not able to retain it and you all of a sudden run 4 steps? Like, his precision, his discipline, and his chemistry with C.J. Stroud, I think, plays into the strengths of this offense, whereas I don't think that was the case last year.
To go to the point, DJ Bienemy, ESPN reporter, he said, one thing that's clear the other day is Xavier Hutchinson is going to play, and he's going to play a lot. He said the pecking order at receiver for the Texans right now, Nico Collins, Christian Kirk got the 2 top spots. Hutchinson appears to be the next guy up, but Higgins will rotate in there. Same with Jalen Knoll. And it looks like that is the case, and that's what we've seen before today. That's what we've seen in practice.
Yeah.
As well as he being kind of the next guy up. Someone texted in, Clint, that if Hutchinson is that valuable, then they wasted 2 draft picks.
No, I disagree wholeheartedly, 100%. We are the 2 draft picks are 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks into a pro football career. It's not everybody's not going to Kamari Lassiter this thing and be ready from jump street and be a damn near Pro Bowl player, all rookie player from jump. That's just not realistic. He was able to do it. Tip my cap to him. But not everybody's going to be able to do it. In fact, I would argue that when was the last receiver that came into Houston to be able to do that? Not named Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins, right? I mean, it typically takes time for guys, at least a half a season, at least some real game action for guys to get to where they're able to contribute and able to listen, retain, and apply all of a playbook. And so, look, I think Higgins is going to have his place. I think Knoll's going to have his place. But right now, it doesn't surprise me that they are banking on 19. They're banking on Xavier Hutchinson, and I think he's earned every bit of it. I think it makes perfect sense.
I do like your point about the offense being different.
Yeah.
And that may make what he does more attractive right now, because he also will probably physically block in a way that others may not, and they do look at that as a deal there. But I'm not going to lie to you. I look at it, and I'm like, do they have enough firepower?
Yeah.
With him getting plays, and the hope at some point, I don't agree with the texture, but the hope at some point is Higgins takes the spot where he's getting more snaps through the season somewhere. Because, I mean, you do look at it. It's hard. We've talked about it. You go from Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, to Xavier Hutchinson, who was fighting for a job last year, into this. And I don't know that he's taken leaps and bounds, with his play.
I think this offense is more complimentary for Xavier Hutchinson, and he's done a good job of developing and being the best that he can be. Now, the reality of it is, if you want to talk about the rookie wide receivers, the reality of this thing is if in 2 years Higgins isn't like head over heels better than guys not named Nico Collins, like if he's not on that Nico Collins trajectory of where maybe he's not a 1,400 yard guy, you know, year guy. But if he's not, a guy that you can see that's impacting games in a big, big way, then we can talk about, hey man, was this dude ever going to live up to that second round pick? You know, who is Higgins kind of deal? But I mean, to expect a guy to Kamari Lassiter this thing and be great first game of the season, I just don't think that's real. Those expectations are a tad bit unfair for guys.
I am a bit surprised that maybe they did, and he just didn't take the way that maybe Lassiter did. But I am a bit surprised that they didn't just put him in there.
No, they did. I mean, Higgins.
You think they did? They just put him in there, well, and he just.
I mean, look. When Kamari came in, there was one position to play and get, and he got the bulk of the run at that one position. When you like, there's no Higgins has been in with the ones a lot. I would argue that Higgins has been in earlier and more often in training camp. It was Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, Brevin Jordan, Dalton Schultz, Cade Stover, any one of those three, and then Higgins. 81 was out there with him quite a bit. The thing is you constantly saw 19 when he got his opportunity. You saw him shine. You saw him shine. You saw him shine. And I just think right now he's able to bring more to the table and handle more of the playbook and run more of the offense than Higgins is. That's not to say that Higgins isn't significantly more gifted than 19. He's significantly more gifted than Hutchinson. There's no doubt about it. But you got to figure out how you want to use that, use it properly, bring him on, you know, at his own pace, and that's up to Nick Caley. But now he's been out there. It just seems like the longer camp goes on, the closer we get to real action, the more we see 19 in that role.
He's been out there. It just seemed like with Kamari, they just said, hey, man.
Oh, there ain't
that's, no guy. That's going to be your gig, whether you have bad days or not.
No question.
Like, we're just going to let you. They said, like, Kamari Lassiter, there wasn't a chance for a sixth-round corner to come get his job.
No question.
And maybe that was just him, and he played, and he did play well, but there wasn't a shot. Like, he was getting the reps over there.
I'm not privy to the information. I don't watch the tape to that degree from an evaluation standpoint, but I would be willing to bet you that if you looked at D'Amico Ryan's evaluation or even Nick Caserio's evaluation on Higgins versus Lassiter, there was a telltale sign in there that they knew Lassiter was ready for the NFL and Higgins is going to take some work. Right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Higgins is more like most late first, early second round picks. And Lassiter, being a second-round pick, was more like top 10 type development, maturity, and they probably knew that all along.
Yeah. All right, we'll see. Xavier Hutchinson going to play and play a lot. Hopefully that bodes well for the Texans. And as you said, Higgins and Noel, I feel like Noel has his place, but Higgins can find his place with this offense. Let's do a little 5 o'clock fire. As we're back at it, we'll get you caught up as the Astros. They do indeed get swept by the Tigers. But as wild as that is, there is some good news in there. We'll tell you about that and get you caught up on Framber's struggles today. And we'll let you hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, as he speaks about them heading to Detroit for a big joint practice tomorrow. And one of the best quarterbacks in football, injured, had to leave practice early. We'll update you on that coming up next.